meeting scheduled today to commence as a result of the conclusion of our special board meeting. Hearing no objection from the regents, we'll move into those committee meetings. And the first item for discussion is academic affairs. Chair Bell, would you take over?
Thank you very much. We have a relatively brief lineup. We have several action items, and several things we want to talk about.
Probably a few of them, yes, please. I guess the first item is a graduate certificate in global health administration. And I guess I'd like to pick up on Dr. Bale's comment just a few minutes ago about the tremendous value of Western Kentucky University education. And I think a lot of what we're talking about here this morning reflects that value, particularly the excellent work that gets done by faculty members on this campus. And we have this new program dimension with a graduate certificate in global health administration. Neil Chumbler is here from the College of Health and Human Services. Neil, I might ask you to give us about a 2-second introduction to this certificate and why it's a significant addition to the curriculum.
Maybe 20 seconds?
That'd be fine.
Now, just that... this is for the graduate certificate. We already have the classes on the books. We've got a long-standing history of international programs in the college, and this continues it in. We have this Global Health Administration Certificate. In fact, in about 3 weeks, I'm going to the University of Haifa in Israel to build the early stages of a Global Health Administration faculty-led study abroad program, too, that this would coincide with as well. And so it's in the Department of Public Health, and we have a healthcare administration program within that, and the classes are already on the books, and we're ready to implement this.
Okay. I'll do this consent agenda with all of our action items.
Well, this is a committee
Not
meeting, though.
Not for committees.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll ask for approval of the graduate certificate in Global Health Administration.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor of approval of the certificate program as described, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes.
And perhaps the most prestigious distinction that the institution confers on faculty members is the title of University Distinguished Professor. And the President and I would like to recommend two new University Distinguished Professors to you this morning. One is Dr. Tom Richmond, who is a faculty member in the Department of Mathematics. Maybe as a reminder about the nature of this appointment, University Distinguished Professors are folks who have significant achievement across the board in teaching, in scholarship, and in service. They really are folks who have achieved across a broad range of faculty performance and faculty expectation, and have done so over a long period of time, typically with most of their career here at WKU. And Tom is certainly a faculty member who falls into that description. His field in particular is topology, and he has published very extensively in that area, including a significant textbook. He has also been recognized by his discipline for his excellence as a classroom teacher. He's a very active presence around the campus, and Tom is very much the kind of person that the university likes to recognize as a University Distinguished Professor. We are also recommending Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld, who is a professor in the Department of Psychological Sciences. Her particular specialty is industrial organizational psychology. She has a degree in that from Louisiana State University, and she has coordinated that program here at WKU for a good long time. She's received an outstanding mentoring award from the Kentucky Psychological Association, and she's been recently recognized by the Society for Industrial and Organizational Psychology with a Lifetime Achievement Award. She is not able to be here this morning because one of the other things that she does is sports psychology. And she is with gold medalist Claire Donahue this weekend as she prepares for part of the Olympic trials. So Betsy, like Tom, is exactly the sort of person, widely accomplished as a faculty member across teaching, scholarship, and service, exactly the sort of person we like to recognize with this very special distinction of University Distinguished Professor.
We're sorry neither one of them could be with us today, but that's a nice presentation. Does anyone have any other comments?
Ditto. David knows them well and captured it.
All right. I will ask for a motion.
So move. I'll jump in quick.
Second.
Have a motion and a second for approval of University Distinguished Professor appointments for Dr. Tom Richmond and Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Yes, I do. We would like to recommend five former faculty members for emeritus status. The first one I want to recommend is a particularly distinctive one, I suppose. We are recommending Dr. John Bonaguro for a title of Dean Emeritus, recently retired as Dean of the College of Health and Human Services. Recently retired as the founding Dean of the College of Health and Human Services. I may misremember, I probably got this wrong, but I think when John retired, the College of Health and Human Services was the largest college at Western Kentucky. I may misremember that. My apologies if it's wrong, but I think that that might be the case. John is founding dean in a very profound way. Dr. Birch had just kind of pulled that college together when John was named as dean, and his leadership has really shaped that college. And shaped it very successfully over a long period of time. And he is somebody who is eminently worthy of the title of Dean Emeritus. Among folks that we're recommending for faculty emeritus status, Nelda Sims, who has recently retired as an assistant professor in the Department of Library Technical Services, and that really does capture it. Nelda was very important to the development of the technological side of the library, particularly over her 38 years at WKU, a time when technology was driving some real change in information retrieval systems, and her legacy to the library is a very electronic one and a very significant one. It's, to put it bluntly, easier for us to find a lot of stuff because of the work that Nelda has done over the years. Terry Leeper, professor of architectural and manufacturing sciences. The best way that I can introduce Terry to you, and many of you probably know him anyway, he's the only person I know of who could dismantle a church organ, bring it to his house, put it back together, and play it. And I think, again, that kind of range of skills that Terry brought to that. And again, during the time that Terry was a faculty member and department head, that particular department went through some very significant changes. It became a very different kind of department. And now I spend a whole lot of time talking about how to meet the demand for the programs that exist in that department, architectural and manufacturing sciences. And Terry's presence as a faculty member and his leadership as a department head were really crucial in that. And he is also a crackerjack gunsmith maker. I mean, his guns are true works of art. From Potter College of Arts and Letters, and particularly from the Department of Sociology, two faculty members. One is Dr. Ed Bolander. Dr. Bolander is a personality. He is an extremely effective teacher. And worked particularly with penology, criminal justice kinds of things. His work in the classroom was very important to bring us to where we are in terms of now having a criminology major and a master's, online master's in criminology. Ed is a very effective teacher, and he is somebody whose classroom presence is really going to be missed in sociology. Ann Gatting was almost a perfect contemporary of Ed's. They were here almost exactly the same same period of time. Ann was did some very important early scholarship in terms of family violence. She has testified as an expert witness on a number of occasions. She has done some important publishing around this topic, and her scholarship in this area has contributed considerably to the emerging study of family violence as a significant problem that needs to be better understood in American society. All of these folks have had significant careers here at WKU, have made important contributions to our students and to our curriculum, and I'm certainly delighted to recommend all of them for emeritus status.
John, you got anything you want to? Inspiring.
I never passed up that opportunity. But David stole the thunder already. You know, already mentioned that the largest college is. I mean, this is, we know something did happen. But I'm really grateful for this opportunity, and thank you, David, and the board of Regents here for this this title. It really is the cap of my career, and it's significant for me. It has a lot of meaning to it. I've always said many times before, no one's successful by themselves. You're successful because you have other people around who share your vision, support you, support the mission of what you're about, what your core values are about. And that certainly has happened here at WKU, with support from the Board of Regents, from the President, the Provost, to all the other deans, the faculty in the college, and all the staff that we have. So I've been very grateful and very honored to have worked here, and certainly is grateful to be here and to receive this award. So, and life on the other side is actually pretty good. You know? So, thank you.
Barbara, you
know, just a couple of quick comments, because this always mostly said it all. Sometimes you notice the laughter about the largest college. What you have to understand is that what Dean Bodegura did from the day he arrived, David, was he announced at every meeting of his colleagues that he was the fastest growing, and that was before he became the largest. And you know how chalk sounds on a
exactly. Yes, exactly.
He also initiated Penguin Awards, and I went to one time and noticed he was getting a gold Penguin Award, and I swear it looked like gold. And I thought, I don't know where he got that money from, but anyway. So he's and one thing I would say about John, because I worked so long with him as did David, he really knew how to create innovative motivation. I think his very first faculty meeting, he had these rubber bands that were about 2 feet in diameter, and he gave them out to show people you had to stretch. Then the next thing he gives them is a ruler, and he was always doing something. He gave them books to read and whatever it was that could enable that college to engage in the innovation and growth that it did over time. And so he was certainly an incredible founding dean, and you know, no offense, because you're going to be an incredible second one. But John, it was amazing. And I do want to add one more comment on Terry's. On your comment about Terry as a gunsmith. Dr. Ansel, I don't know if you remember the day when I think that we were down to just about eliminating that department, and they had a meeting, and they almost got on their knees and begged to be allowed to survive, and you agreed to let them, and they promised they were going to build into something that was a significant department, and it is indeed. It is a very significant department. And Terry was the leader on that. That organ David talked about, he actually built part of the room around it, yeah. David. It's a big church organ, and he had to build a room around it. But the most amazing thing was the gunsmithing. He brings people still every summer here from all over the world. And one summer he called me to come over and see what he was doing. He has airline pilots that take their vacation to come every summer, and this particular summer he had a man from Italy, and he introduced me to him, and I can't remember the name, but when he did, he said, tell her what you do, show her what you do, and he broke out in this incredible operatic aura. He was an opera singer from Italy who came to do gunsmithing. And I say that just to tell you that it is amazing that the people who come to our campus to take advantage of the talents of our faculty. And this is a list of people that have many distinguished people on it. And
yes,
we're going to miss them. So,
put in context the transition for this program, because it's certainly relevant to where we are now and where we're going. When Terry took over that program, it was mainly industrial education, a lot of traditional shop woodworking kinds of things. But then architecture began to become a focus of the program, and now we have a splendid architectural sciences program. The most important change was moving into manufacturing sciences. I met with Governor Bevin Monday afternoon, at length about our performance funding model, and it's becoming clear that manufacturing sciences is going to be a variable to be measured in a performance funding model. So not only are we well positioned, but had we not made some transitions in this particular department, we wouldn't be so well positioned. But because of what we've been able to create, and particularly in manufacturing sciences, we're going to be quite responsive to what the state is going to be expecting of us in large measure going forward. So that's a tribute to Terry's leadership.
Any other comments? All been very worthy recipients, and so I entertain a motion for approval of the maritime appointments as described.
So moved.
Second.
Jay Todd and second by Joy. Any further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign. Motion passes. That concludes our action items. Provost Lee has organized a short presentation to highlight some of our work that goes behind the scenes on all these fantastic scholarships that our Western students receive. I will say, from the viewpoint of our search firm that we've had, they've been very impressed with that. As we put together our institutional review and position profile, this sort of thing is a feather in our cap, a jewel in our crown, and we hope will help us attract our next great president.
Well, the Office of Scholar Development plays a crucial role in creating special opportunities for particularly talented students that maybe wouldn't be there if the Office of Scholar Development wasn't here to help provide those opportunities. We've had very good years in terms of competition for prestigious scholarships, but this year we've had particularly a bumper crop. And part of what I would like for you all to notice is not only the significant achievements by these students, but the work of faculty and staff who go into helping them to maximize their opportunities with these prestigious scholarships. Audra Jennings has a doctorate in American history from Ohio State University, and I have to envy her the previous part of this week where she was at the National Archives, where she has found some really very intriguing stuff about how handicapped children were treated in the 1930s. She's done some very important scholarship around that topic broadly, and she agreed to sort of zoom in from the National Archives this morning to talk with you all a bit about this. So, Audra.
Hi.
In fact, I'll just get out of your way.
Okay. So thank you for the opportunity to talk with you about WKU's national scholarship success this year. It has been a tremendous year, but I want to lead with the fact that we're still waiting on announcements, so we're hopeful that it might be an even better year. So in 2015-2016, OSD staff members had one-on-one meetings with nearly 500 different students. So nearly 500 WKU students sought the opportunity to seek national scholarships, to study abroad, to do research, to go to graduate school. We had some of these students have over 15 meetings, some over 20. 136 WKU students and recent graduates applied and participated in over 20 different national scholarship competitions. Application numbers have been relatively steady, but again, we saw a significant increase in national scholarship success. So WKU students and recent alumni earned recognition in national scholarships competitions 67 times this year, up from 42 last year. So students earned over $450,000 in these competitions. Now, if we look at those that are measured in the strategic plan, we exceeded our goal for the strategic plan with 45 awards. So that met that mark of increasing our success fourfold in national scholarship competitions. So these students achieved this success through a great deal of hard work on the part of the students, but also on the part of faculty and staff. So students often work with OSD as first years to identify opportunities and develop a four-year scholar development plan. So we try to connect them with the right people. So our faculty, find faculty that match their interest and help develop them and mentor them. We also try to connect them with opportunities on campus to be engaged in leadership, in community service, in social justice activities. Students then work with OSD staff members often for months on individual scholarship applications. We encourage students to submit numerous applications each year to increase their chances of success. We help them to think through and develop plans for the future and to articulate a narrative that connects, that's authentic and connects with those scholarship goals. Faculty and staff play a key role in the process, from providing discipline-specific feedback on proposals and writing countless recommendations. We gave our first award to Tim Rich for mentorship. That was an award nominated by our students, and he wrote numerous letters of recommendation for 10 different students this year alone. So this is a group thing that stretches across campus. So I wanted to briefly highlight some of our national scholarship successes this year. So you'll note that we had 13 Gilman scholarships that fund study abroad. That competition is open only to students who receive Pell grants. We're still, again, waiting on announcements for Gilman. So of the 63 students who won these 67 awards, 24% of them were not in the Honors College, 25% are Pell Grant recipients, 10% were earned by Gatton Academy students, 31% are members of our Department of Defense-funded Chinese flagship program. So 37 of these 67 awards will support anywhere from 4 weeks to 1 year abroad. These scholarships provide funding for students to travel to 18 different countries. So 11 of them will be traveling to China. 6 of these awards are for Jordan. So our kind of data here really suggests two things, that national scholarship agencies are really emphasizing study abroad in countries outside of Western Europe, but it also reflects the reality that the vast majority of American students study abroad in Western Europe. So we have many more applications for Western Europe, but the funding agencies are really pushing students to study abroad outside. So 89% of this year's study abroad awards were for countries in Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East. So this has been a continued year of success. So for the third time in the second consecutive year, WKU has been named a top producer of Fulbrights based on our 5 awardees last year. This year, WKU students and recent graduates followed that success with a record 8 Fulbright grants to study, conduct research, and or teach English abroad. 5 additional students were named alternates. So our winners are going to be studying in France, Germany, Guatemala, Malaysia, Morocco, Taiwan, 2 in Taiwan, and the United Kingdom. All 5 of our Boren scholarship applicants received the award, so that's up to $20,000 for a study abroad of a year. Additionally, we had 5 recipients of the Critical Language Scholarship, which is funded by the Department of State and pays for students to spend 8 to 10 weeks studying intensively critical language. We also had, for the second year in a row, 2 finalists for the Harry S. Truman Scholarship. I might add that your student regent was one of those finalists. And so I think the interesting thing to note here is that the head of the Truman competition suggests that having a finalist once every few years is a mark of a school that's being successful in the Truman competition. And so we've had our sixth and seventh finalist in 5 years. So we are doing quite well there. So each year I've talked about some current students, and I wanted to just briefly talk a little bit about some students who've won these awards in the last few years and what they're doing, that the mentoring that they receive at WKU, the success that they've had in these national scholarships is really driving a lifetime of achievement. So I would like to start with Mario Nguyen. He was a 2012 graduate in public relations. He will complete his final year of law school at Harvard this fall. He is currently a law clerk with Locke Lord LLP in Dallas, Texas. He serves as a student attorney at the Harvard Legal Aid Bureau. He plans to work in public service in his home state of Texas after graduation. Ali Serena, a 2012 graduate in economics and mathematics, is currently an innovation consultant for large organizations. She does qualitative research on the changing landscape of work for women. She also teaches global executives creative strategy for the Columbia Business School. Now, Ali, both Ali and Mario had Fulbright grants. Ali completed a year of research in China before she headed to Columbia University, where she earned a master's degree. She also had received a critical language scholarship. Mario had a Fulbright to Mexico, where he was able to work with a social entrepreneurship company in Mexico City. Corey Dodds, a 2013 graduate in political science, just graduated from Georgetown Law. He's studying for the bar before embarking on a career in public service. He, during his time in law school, worked at the FCC and the White House. Corey was WKU's first finalist for the Mitchell Scholarship, and he was also one of our Truman finalists. Sarah Schrader, the last student that I will highlight, is a 2014 graduate in biology, chemistry, and a self-designed major in Mandarin Chinese. She will begin year three, the PhD portion of an MD-PhD program that's fully funded through the tri-institutional Cornell Rockefeller Sloan Kettering program. While there, she has developed a medical Chinese program, so she has actually created coursework for her peers to teach future doctors and physician scientists Chinese. She also developed advanced coursework for students who already had some Chinese. In addition to that, she has started her own quite successful business in which she helps students in China who wish to study in the U.S., by matching them with U.S. students who agree to serve as their tutors and also read their applications for college admission and scholarships. We like to think that she got some practice working on lots and lots of scholarships here at WKU. She was our first finalist for Rhodes, Marshall, Gates, Cambridge. She was also a finalist for the Truman Scholarship. She received the Goldwater Scholarship, a National Science Foundation Graduate Research Fellowship, a National Defense Science and Engineering Graduate Fellowship, and a South Korean government-sponsored Teach and Learn in Korea. So again, thank you for your time. In OSC, we ask students how big you can dream, and we work alongside those students and their faculty to help make those dreams a reality. I think this year's success really indicates how big those dreams are that our students have, but it also indicates the quality and dedication of our faculty and staff, the research that's happening here on campus, the work in our communities, our student leaders. So, thank you.
Thank you. Since this is around the 4th of July, the only thing we lacked was fireworks. that is tremendous news. And again, this type of information has not escaped our search firm, and their They noted, in fact, I think we ranked 19th in the country for international student a couple of years ago. We're talking a lot about global, we're talking a lot about diversity and how this should be. Any more negative questions?
I have a comment. I have a meeting with OSD.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have a meeting with OSD, Dr. Jennings, on Monday. I can't emphasize enough how helpful they've been to me as a student. And often when students ask me what separates the Honors College from Honors programs in Kentucky, my first answer is OSD. That we have a group of people whose job is to help us through our academic career, help us chart a trajectory. And I can speak for many students to say, you all, yourself, have been extremely helpful, and thank you for all the work you've done, and look forward to continuing the work.
We'll push you on Monday.
Thank you.
Money well spent.
Great job, Dr. Jennings. Thank you.
Any other comments on that? Mr. Provost, do you have any?
I think I'm probably done for this morning.
I want to mention one other thing that's been in the news this week that I think is worthy of, has to do with our engineers. Quite a few weeks in national competition. I read where the concrete canoe team came in fourth in the country. Being familiar with the University of Wisconsin, that's been a big program for them for years. And then our steel bridge placed.
Seems to me they were in the top 20, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's correct.
Anyway.
They won one of the competitions.
Yeah, the regional.
Well, they won the regional, but they won one of the national in terms of bridge. These competitions, they sound like you build a bridge or you build a canoe and you go race it. But the academic presentation and the science that goes into these competitions is a little bit as intense. Testing of a bridge or the bridge to more part.
These academic successes, goes back to what we're all saying, there's a heck of a value. Mr. Chairman, I think that concludes the business of the afternoon committee.
Thank you, Regent Bell. We'll take a 10-minute break and then return for our executive committee portion of the agenda.